This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. With us today is Manisha Jagan, a model, poet, MC, pageant finalist, a talented individual with the heart of an entrepreneur. Having been a talent herself, she now manages talents through her artist management agency, M Talent Asia. I pronounced your last name correctly, right?
That's absolutely right, actually, Frida. Thank you.
And of course, we've met before. You were one of our speakers at Enterprise Rocks, I think 2 years back, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, you said at M Talent Asia in 2015, which is a boutique agency specializing in artist management, talent bookings, and PR. So what inspired you to start that?
Okay. Thank you so much for having me here today. And I think that, well, it kind of came out of, it definitely started with what I studied, which is international business. And I think like anyone who, you know, who studied business, they've always had a dream of starting their own thing eventually. Mm. But I used to be quite risk averse. I think being a Virgo, you know, so very careful, calculated. And I told myself, okay, if I wanted to do something in you know, any line of business, I definitely need experience. Mm. So I set a 5-year goal for myself to get as much experience as I could. And when the fourth year ended, I was like only 1 year down. I was like, okay, what do I do? You know, what do I do? It's like, and I'm the type of person that's also that also shares her goals, because I think it's like, you know, if you don't reach your goals, like jatuhai muka, you know,
so you
like
put it out there,
yeah,
and
put
then
it
people
out there.
Accountable.
Yes, a little bit of accountability, and also I think putting it out to the universe, like, you know, like okay, I want to do this. So I did think about a couple of ideas, and I think this was the third idea that I came about, and it's actually a combination of my strengths and what I'm really interested in. So I love people. I'm a very people person. I love the arts. So I've always supported the arts in one way or another, whether as a talent or with my friends doing things. And also I was passionate about business. Mm. So put it all together and I came up with setting up an artist management agency. So that's what M Talent Asia started out.
Okay, as. So you were, I'm looking at this. You were also a poet?
yes. I started out as a closet poet, just writing, you know, teenage angst when I was like 15 years old. And then I think when I was like 20 or 21, I came across a student poetry association, like sort of like it was out of the university. It's called Poets Passport in Cyberjaya by MMU and Lim Kok Wing students. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started spoken word poetry. So yeah, I know a couple of people in the scene who are still, you know, practicing poetry, spoken word. Yeah.
Okay. And you were spoken word, isn't it always spoken? What do you mean?
So poetry, there's written.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so and this is
performing.
Reading, performing it out.
Yeah,
okay.
Performance poetry.
Pageant finalist, what did you take part in?
So this was around that time as well. I was interning at Sony Malaysia. And one of my colleagues at that time was a pageant alumni of Miss Malaysia Indian Global. Mm. So that was a pageant I was with 10 years ago. I think, it's 10 years. So it was 2009. Mm. So I was a top five finalist then and won a couple of subsidiary titles. And I think I really stepped into womanhood.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's when I first bought my first like foundation powder. I remember going with my mom and my aunt to like Subang Parade and like, you know, getting first proper makeup and stuff. Yeah, it was really a good experience. And it's more focused on women from Indian descent.
Right.
Yeah, and very empowering pageant.
So it taught you like a little bit more about confidence.
That's right, yeah.
And that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, and also I think thinking a lot about other people, because I realized that I came from a medium, you know, medium class family and a lot of people have less than what I do. Mm. And with what I do have, I should share it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does being an artist, in artist management entail? What does it involve?
Well, I think also the reason I started this is because I love the arts and I realized that why do a lot of Malaysian artists or talents, you know, not been able to reach global scale? Like, what's standing in their way? You know, and I realized, like, some of my artists were friends as well, and they knew that I was, you know, in the corporate scene or I studied business, and they would ask me, like, how do I market myself better? How do I develop my career? And I used to do, like, a little SWOT analysis for them, you know. I would, like, help them, give them tips. And then I realized that it's actually the business angle or the business perspective in it. Like, at the end of the day, whatever you're putting out, even as a creative, is a product, a product or a service. And how do you sell this, right? So I saw the gap then. I said, like, well, if there are more people out there looking at artists or creative output from a business angle, then maybe we would get a better chance of, you know, reaching a global scale. So MTalent Asia strives to, like, be that bridge to inspire and help local artists or talents to reach a more regional and international platform.
Okay, so do you find your talents, or do the talents find you?
I think it happens both ways. At the beginning, it was me looking for some talents, but after that, very quickly after that, it's more of like talents reaching out to us instead.
Okay.
So yeah, we're out there. I don't think there's many artist management agencies as well. So we do get inquiries, and they're a range from people who are just looking into exploring, from, you know, people who've had a couple of experience, like years of experience, and then people who've been out there for like many, many years. So I think we're also kind of set expectations to what kind of talents that we're looking for. And, you know, just based on resources, we can only tend to so many.
Right. And what kind of talents are you looking for?
Right now, well, specifically, we do look for more experienced talents. So we strive to try to elevate their careers, add value to their careers, whether in management or more actually in bookings, in talent bookings. Because we realize right now in the market, actually, we have a young, you know, booming market of a lot of people in the creative industry and talents themselves. And what we need is more jobs, you know, and job opportunities. So actually bridging that with bookings has been a growing part of our agency.
Right. And who are some of the artists that you manage?
Yeah, well, we've worked with Kyoto Protocol, for example. Right now, Kavin J, he's a Netflix comedian. So we've got two Malaysians on Netflix, Harith Iskandar and Kavin J. So if you haven't watched Kavin J's Netflix special, make sure you do. I promise you, it's hilarious. And we also work with Carrie Ng, Miss Universe Malaysia 2013. She's got it's so nice to see how her career has evolved from being a winner of Miss Malaysia Universe. And then, you know, now she's got two kids. And so the brands that are actually working with her are definitely more family oriented, more, you know, young mothers, you know. So it's really interesting also to grow with our talents.
Okay. And how do you groom your talents? And I guess characteristics, what do you look for, right? Beyond the talent, they must have certain character. Better turn them on time or something like that,
Exactly. I think when it comes to me personally, we boil it down to a couple of things. Definitely, I think first and foremost, for me personally, the most important thing is attitude or work ethic. Because I think you can have all the talent in the world, but if you, you know, don't have the right mindset or don't have the right attitude about it, I think you can't really get that far. And people with less talent have gotten further with the right attitude. So I think attitude for me and mindset is very important. And then definitely having some talent helps.
Right, of course. And of course, you combine what you do with PR as well.
That's right.
So we'll talk a little bit about that, and also, you know, the future of influencer marketing. We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Manisha Jagan from MTalent Asia. Stay tuned to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
I have a dream.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Listening to Her Vantage. Good morning, Frida Liu here. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Manisha Jagan, who owns MTalent Asia. They are a talent management company, but not that alone. They also do PR and I guess help out with influencer marketing as well. Just before that, right, from experience, do women tend to be hired more than men?
Yeah, I think Without a doubt. Definitely in our line of work, because it's a very visual, you know, and right now we do live in a very social media world where there's a lot of Instagram, there's a lot of Facebook, and people do tend to go towards, you know, things that look beautiful and or very appealing. So
like Kavin J.
Kavin is very unique. Like, right. I mean, his humor, you know. Right. So comedians are all very special. That's not many of them, because right. it's a huge, like, you know, you need a lot of talent and skill and practice. Like, Kavin's been doing this for over a decade. And there's only a handful of people that are really, really good at what they do. So I think even though there's not many of comedians, but they do what they do very well, and that's why brands enjoy booking them or working with them. Yeah.
Okay. And so, like, do the numbers matter? You know, like, we always say, oh, how many followers you have? Does it matter?
Yeah, I think when you look at it from a very surface level, then I think that's when it matters. Mm. You know, so when people are quick to judge with and numbers are, you know, could tell something from a very surface level. But I think if you go more in depth into what clients or a campaign, for example, looks for, then you really need to analyze more than just numbers. Mm. Like, you can see, like, the potential in the content, you know, sometimes, and then the creative aspect of developing certain content or performances. So I think it really depends on what's the objective at the end of the day.
So what you do is you combine influencer marketing together with PR campaigns as well, right?
That's right.
So how does it work? Maybe share some stories.
Sure. So, influencer marketing, we got into, I think, because we started the agency in 2015, I think in the past couple of years, we've seen a big boom with influencer marketing. And it's something that's undeniable and an added revenue channel for our artists. So we do also try to develop and strategize and help them, advise them on how to build their social media following. Because, I mean, we cannot deny the power of influencer marketing right now. I'm also a personal fan of it, because it's very indirect. It's not pushy, where there's a lot of avenues for advertising that are already very direct. And influencer marketing also gives the ball to the creator, you know, where you can come up with very original or creative ideas on how to work with the brand to put your product out. So I'd say it's really important. And how we got part of it is, like, on that organic growth, just because of market demand. Mm. And how we've tied up with our PR campaigns is, right now, PR, as you know, media has also changed the landscape of media from very traditional media to being newspaper heavy, you know, television. Now it's, radio is great, podcasts, like digital news portals. So we do a lot of digital PR as well. And influence marketing can be actually put together in those kind of campaigns. Mm. So we realized that clients also want to reach more channels digitally, and that's how we marry influencer marketing with those campaigns.
Right. Yeah. Can you share a story of how happened to anybody else? Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Right now, actually, one of our current clients is Timberland, Timberland Malaysia. So they're a fashion lifestyle brand, and they put equal importance to both influencer marketing, media, as well as social media, digital. And we've married all throughout the year, we've married campaigns having equal importance on both social media and PR. So reaching out to the masses to talk about the new season's collection. Mm. And it's super interesting that right now the collections are also very environmentally friendly, about sustainable products, sustainable fashion, and they do a lot of collaborations. And we reach out to influencers that kind of share those similar values as well to speak about the brand. Mm. So that's, for example, and also media platforms that are willing to talk about that angle.
Right. So it's very interesting because, okay, you've got Kavin, who is a comedian, you've got Carrie, a lifestyle, a mother, and also still a very hot-looking mother. and then there's Kyoto Protocol, right, which is a band, right? How do you market a brand? Like, so you help them get gigs? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's right. So I guess for all the talents we've worked with in the past or currently, it's more or less the same framework. And so we look at it as a package, and then there are certain elements in the package that we have to work with. So the big umbrella is pretty much similar. So there's, like, you know, marketing, there's social media, there's, like, pricing. So those are the big umbrellas. And then when it comes to those finer details on like who do we look out for jobs for these kind of people, that might differ, you know. So, but then I think that gives us an advantage because then we have our thumbs in different sort of like niche industries. So it's anything to do with like, for example, with Carrie, she works a lot with like lifestyle brands, like fashion brands, like, you know, family, more family oriented. And then where else, Kevin can do more tech, you know, very content creating, you know. So it's all different. And Kyoto Protocol definitely has done a lot of things in music, you know, streaming platforms. So it's like, it's a variety of brand exposure and different channels that I think it also helps each other out. So sometimes there's a cross collaboration in that. And sometimes brands also are interested with the type of diversity that we have. Yeah.
Where do you see the future of influencer marketing? Where do you, know, what else is there going to going to be happening?
So I also subscribe to Interactive Marketing, this newsletter, right? And it's so great. It's great to keep up to date with what's going on locally, I mean, nationally, at a national level. And I think I just read an article recently that spending is just going to go up more, you know, going to rise for digital marketing in general. And part of digital marketing is influencer marketing. So it's undeniable that it's definitely going to be increasing. We are also always on the lookout for great content creators, you know, great talents. Brands are always on the lookout as well. So we would encourage people who are doing it to stick to it. Content does take time to develop. Yeah. An audience does take time to develop. So I also have this tagline where I say, you know, you have to create, achieve, believe and repeat.
Okay.
That's, I think, for creators, it's really important because once they start creating, they have to think about, you know, just get through the finish line, achieve your goal,
right,
and then believe that it can go somewhere, you know, and then repeat.
Right.
So you got to do it for enough length of time, you know, have enough focus on it, and you definitely will reap the benefits without a doubt.
Right. And of course, you know, things take time, right?
For sure.
What was it that I've always heard that, you know, sometimes you do something very aggressively, but it's always a long term.
That's right.
That will reap the benefits, right?
That's right.
So it's going to be 5 years for MTalent, right? What do you have in store? You know, what are your plans? I guess you've got your 5-year plan, right?
Yeah, so I think we just moved into a new office space with the team. I mean, we've got a great team that's very passionate, that's very in touch with what's going on. So I think definitely exploring more on what we can do for both on our talent side, our PR side, and also exploring more on the creative aspect. We've got a new vertical called MTAX, which is working more with creatives out there and producing our own on content for brands. So definitely that's something exciting. Yeah, I think those are probably our main focuses. We would love to start winning some awards for some of the campaigns that we've been working on. So I think we would love to submit some for 2020 or 2021. But we're super excited.
How big is your team?
Right now, we're a team of less than 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely looking to grow and expand and take on more clients. Yeah.
Was it easy finding these people?
I think throughout the years, I've been able and really grateful to have worked with remarkable people who have gone on to continue doing remarkable things. So I think I'm really proud of the team that has worked with us and the team that is currently working with us as well. I think without them and without the talents and without the clients that we've been working with, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So I'm really excited to see what we can achieve all together in the next couple of years.
All right, man. All the best for the 5th year and beyond.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to Manisha Jagan from MTalent Asia. You've been listening to Her Vantage, the FM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.